Good evening and welcome. I'm Whitney Sweeney, President of the State Board of Education. I call the May 2nd regular meeting to order. It is 5:04 PM. This meeting is open to the public in person in the boardroom of the Capitol School District Administrative Building and electronically via WebEx. The State Board of Education published a public meeting notice and the meeting link on April 25th, 2022 on the state public meeting calendar site. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. As a courtesy to others and to prevent unnecessary disruption, if you're logged in via WebEx, please mute your microphone when you're not speaking. Members of the public should refrain from speaking until the time for public comment. Today's agenda contains two opportunities for public comment. The first opportunity is for comment related to regulations. The second is reserved for general public comment near the end of the meeting. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was available via email prior to this meeting. For those attending in person, sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. This will help us to begin to create a list of individuals who would like to speak. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. We ask that you members of the public use the chat box only to sign up for public comment or to make us aware of any technical difficulties. In order to maximize the effectiveness of this meeting, each board member should announce his or her name before speaking. Please remember to announce your name as you reply to others or participate in an ongoing conversation. During the presentations, presenters will regularly pause and ask if any state board members have questions. Please don't speak until this time. During the presentation, presenters will clearly reference which document they're reviewing. And when taking a vote on an item, I'll ask if there's a motion and a second and will then conduct a roll call vote. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days of this meeting. Now, before we begin, I'd like to thank Superintendent Cade and the Capitol School District for hosting our meeting this evening. So thank you very much. We appreciate being here with you today. Ms. Honor, if you could call the roll of state board members, please.
Present.
Ms. Ferris.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Ms. Pfeiffer is absent. She will be late. Mr. Lofe.
Present.
Present.
Do we need to get Reverend Powell officially on? I can see him. He's obviously here. Oh, there.
I'm present. I didn't hear my name called, but I'm present.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Seems like there's a lag because we noticed it for both you and Shelby. So let's just be a lag. Thank you. Okay, so we have quorum. Thank you. I note that we also have the following individuals participating in today's meeting: Secretary Mark Holodick, Deputy Attorney General Carl Jaros, and State Board of Education staff Jenna Honor and Brittany Wharton. Before we get started, I want to welcome Ms. Wharton in her new position as Administrative Secretary for the State Board of Education, and we're looking forward to working with you. So the first thing that we have on the agenda is the approval of our agenda, which was posted on April 25th. Are there any changes to the agenda?
Brittany Hand make a motion to approve the agenda.
No, Fink second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is the approval of the minutes. The March 17th regular meeting minutes provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any additions or deletions?
Brittingham make a motion to approve March 17th, 2022 regular meeting minutes.
Lofink second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, so the first real item that we have on the agenda are presentations. So the first is our Capitol School District presentation. So again, I'd like to thank Dr. Cade for welcoming us here tonight. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and then you can go ahead and make your introductions.
I do have a folder for each of the board members. I want to take this opportunity to welcome you. I'm going to turn this around a little bit so I can look at you all.
Thank you.
to welcome you to Senator Nation on behalf of the Capital School District's Board of Education and leadership team. We welcome you here to Senator Nation. My name is Dr. Valicia Cade, and I am the Chief Executive Officer and Superintendent. And here in the Capital School District, we're focusing on educational excellence today for changing tomorrow. We're working through three strategic intents, one being creating a streamlined and linear school district, the second, focusing on the needs of the whole child, and third, building on our Senator pride. And so you have a lot of information in your folder, but I'm only going to focus on one thing today. And so in your folder, you have a small handout that focuses on a lot of our programs that are flagship programs for our district, in addition to our goals and measures for this year, a five-year plan for priorities, goals, and measures. You have a copy of the presentation that we will give you today that focuses on our future vision, which I'm coining Senators Grow. And then you have some additional information about some potential strategic partnerships and some press release, some handouts. So you'll have a great overview of some of the work that we've been doing here in the Capital School District. I want to talk about a vision for unprecedented times in terms of how we will grow our senators. And when we refer to our senators, we're referring to our students, our staff, and our parents with community. Here in Senator Nation, we believe that we were born to lead. An overview of our district, we serve about 6,300 students. We're a district that has rural, suburban, and urban communities in which we serve. We focus a lot on celebrating our Senator pride. We build on our instructional model that we have. And so I'm not going to read the slide and insult anyone's intelligence. So here's a little bit about our organization. This was our state report card prior to the pandemic. And as you can see, we have a great launching pad, but we have an opportunity here in terms of our opportunity for continuous improvement. Some of the strengths of the district, and I guess one of the important things that I should mention is that I joined the Capital School District as the new superintendent July 1st. And so as a result, I'm still in the process of implementing my entry plan, which was 180 days. And so as a result of that, I still have an opportunity to analyze a lot of the data, the programs. And once I come out of this entry plan analysis, will launch a new strategic planning process. And so some of the strengths of our district really focus on our diversity. We have state-of-the-art facilities like this boardroom and, of course, Dover High School. We're in the process of building a $113 million interconnected middle school. We have other buildings that we tower as our flagships. Also, one of the things that I noticed about the strengths of this organization is there's a pervasive ethos of care that exists. Many of the people who work in the Capital School District are actual products of the Capital School District. And so again, it connects back to our Senator pride and people really caring about their community. And of course, the best, we are the centerfold of the first state. Location, location, location. We're an hour from the beaches. When hour from the urban metropolis, which is Wilmington. Some of the opportunities, although our diversity is a strength, it's also an opportunity for us. We have a lot of issues that we grapple with around our students and families from low resource communities. We've had some stalled academic outcomes that don't really reflect the capacity of our organization. We've had a lot of teacher turnover, and in the fall of 2023, we will reconfigure our entire district. And so we'll move from elementary schools that have pre-K through fourth grade, one middle school that has a 5-6 grade, and then Central Middle School, which has a 7th and 8th grade, and our high school, when we'll reconfigure to having a pre-K K building, Our elementary schools will become first through fifth grade, and we will have two interconnected middle schools that focus on a true middle school model, which is sixth through eighth grade. We're in the process because of some transition in leadership and rebuilding trust in our organization also. So as a part of my 180-day plan, I have a five-cycle process that I've engaged in my community with around leading, listening, learning, sharing. I'm sorry, around listening, learning, sharing, planning, and then leading. The goals of my entry plan really focus on enacting a process to advance a culture of professionalism, inclusiveness, fairness, transparency, and collaboration, and really to establish productive school board, superintendent, and community relations, and also to acquire and deepen my understanding of this community that I'm serving. And in the end, I will engage in critical analysis, and we will move into our strategic planning process. So today I really want to talk about, we opened our schools this year, really focusing on spurring the audacity of hope to uncover the magic of new beginnings. And it was intentional to really think about hope on the heels of the pandemic. We know that many of our constituents and stakeholders have been grappling with a lot of trauma. And so for us, hope is focused on helping other people excel, and it's also inspiring other people through actions and opportunities. We're taking a three-pronged approach to our work this year, where we're focusing on the holistic needs of our students, our staff, and our parents with community. Many of our programs that focus on the social emotional supports and mental health supports that we've put into our multi-tiered systems of support, we've also mirrored those opportunities for our staff. So our students have multi-tiered system of support opportunities within that framework. We hired clinical licensed social workers in all of our schools, and we provide access to that for our staff, in addition to some of the work that Dr. Jocelyn Brown has done with putting together self-care programming. And so we're not perfect, but we also took into consideration understanding that the implications of trauma from the pandemic would extend beyond just our students. We also have three cornerstones to our core values that the Board of Education and I have adopted. And it really focuses on excellence through equity, unity through love, and leadership through inclusiveness. We want to ensure that everyone knows that the cornerstones of our core values inform our behavior. And so these are very important, and you'll hear more about them throughout our time together. So as the chief executive officer, I developed five priorities for this organization. Our primary goal was to return to in-person learning this year. And we focused on care, creating a culture of care, focusing on continuous improvement opportunities, communication and increasing our communication, and building on our community, and of course, capacity building. We focus a lot on what we're coining the COVID pivot. And within the COVID pivot, we know that the work that Michael Fullan has done to talk about reimagining education, that there's three phases to what has occurred across our nation and across the world. The first was disruption, that the educational systems had been disrupted. The second was transition. And right now we're currently in that transition phase, in which we have an opportunity to take some positive takeaways away from what occurred during the pandemic in terms of the technological advances and how adults learn and students learn, but also a shift in focus on social emotional supports for all of the people in our community. And so Michael Fullan talks about the third phase being reimagining. And again, I mentioned that in the fall of 2023, the Capital School District will reconfigure our entire district. We will launch our strategic planning process in the fall of 2022. And at that time, we'll come together with our community to really advance a vision to reimagine what education can be. And so the challenge, this school year was remaining open because of COVID spread. We had staffing shortages, transportation drama, is like what I would like to call it, and of course, the unfolding of the trauma. As much as we provided support and insight when we saw the unfolding of trauma in our schools, like districts across our nation and the world, we had to pivot and take additional recourse to support what we saw unfolding. Again, reassessing, looking at our work that we've done, looking for partnerships that were intentional and strategic and really building on our Senator Pride. And then reimagining, using our community resources to address our challenges and seeking authentic collaboration to raise our quality of living while meeting our needs. And you'll hear a lot more about that with the Senator Grow vision. And so the Senator Grow vision is really predicated on the belief that being located here in Central Delaware, I think we have a unique opportunity. When you come to the district office, we're surrounded by many businesses, Procter & Gamble, Heinz, and Kraft. We have Edgewell. We have many opportunities here. And so we've been in conversation with institutions of higher education, particularly Adel Tech and their workforce development with Dr. Morris and Lisa Peel, Dr. Peel. And we've been talking about our career technical education pathways, but we've been talking a lot about how we can leverage our partnerships to really impact our community here in Central Delaware. And so I really believe that the work that we have an opportunity to really increase economic development here in Kent County. And there's a lot going on with various different organizations, and this work is not starting because Dr. Cade came here. This work has been underway, but I firmly believe that K-12 has to be the catalyst of these efforts because we feed the institutions of higher education. Businesses determine if they're going to open a new business based on what they see on the K-12 report cards. People build houses and buy houses based on schools. And so with that, we have students that we can provide in terms of workforce, in terms of work-based experiences, in terms of entry-level opportunities. And we have parents who are attached to those kids who have an opportunity to really upskill if we develop the appropriate kinds of programs for them. And so I want to talk a lot about reciprocal intentional partnerships where the organizations that we partner with have a similar need. And I find that those reciprocal relationships are what are the most successful because both organizations have skin in the game, right? And so what I'm calling manufacturing the best, I'm looking at the challenge of increasing the supply of employees to manufacturing industries here in Central Delaware to really harvest and improve economic development and focusing on how we can help. We can help by working with business leaders to align our core skills of what our graduates look like, right? We can also provide and develop parent programs that really include upskill opportunities for our parents. So when I talk to Dr. Morris and Dr. Peels about their workforce development, which used to be continuing education, we have title funds. As we build out our supports with our parents and our parent university, we should be looking at how we can impact the quality of life of the parents we serve. And also these industries, these job markets like Edgewell right here in Central Delaware, they can't get employees. So why can't the school district work with our parents to work with Edgewell to find out the intersection of our need to help feed these industries so that they don't leave Central Delaware, right? And then the other thing is really the potential is really increasing the options for our businesses by providing them with our students who we will provide a different kind of skills as we design what that portrait of a senator looks like with our business leaders. And we're improving the quality of life for the people here in Central Delaware, increasing the interest for new businesses to come in, for more builders to come in and build homes, and of course, improving healthcare, that's just a need. So that's what I'm pointing manufacturing the best, right? And then teaching for the stars, getting ahead of the national teacher shortage while focusing on talent development, creating pathways that help our paraprofessionals become certified teachers. Now, this isn't anything new. We have programs like this at the University of Delaware and at Wilmington University. But my reciprocal intentional partnership would be with Delaware State University. They have a need to strengthen their school of education. We have a need in our state to produce more diversity in our workforce. And so we have a reciprocal interest in building this program, cultivating an interest in that program would look different. Also, we would have components that really reach down to high school students and getting them involved. Now, we have a teacher's prep program at our high school, but when I looked at the data, most of the students who graduate from that teacher's prep program don't go into education. They don't. So we've got to figure out what the phenomenon is that's steering students away from teaching. And so we want to keep them immersed in an experience that really focuses on the honor that being an educator brings. So we want to get some Future Teacher of America chapters going, and we want to get those kids involved with some work where they can maybe do internships and earn money. So it'll be sort of built out very differently. We know that one of the challenges with Delaware State University and many of the students that our paras that we have is they haven't passed the Praxis. And now we know that the requirements around the Praxis is changing, but we also need to build that in. So why can't we use the Accuplacer and look at a skills analysis and prepare people for the test up front? So we're looking to do innovative things to really meet the challenges that we have ahead of us. And then, of course, we want to provide academic and social emotional supports for our students by creating those cross-age programs that I touched lightly on that are rooted in youth leadership models to keep them attached to the possibilities of being a teacher. And then on the other side, we really want to create those pipeline programs that really develop the talent that we have so that our teachers have intentional career ladders. And so through our work with the superintendent study group, you know, we know that pipeline programs are needed and being very intentional about creating these opportunities for our senators so they grow. Driving for Success is another one of our Senator Grow programs that we're working on. It's really focusing on improving the income and quality of life of our existing employees and also meeting our transportation needs. So we talked a lot about providing opportunities for some of our custodial staff by staggering their workday so that they could drive buses. And we're in the process of training them. We have a date that we have, in June, where we're offering the CDL training and we're training some of our staff so that they can get their CDLs and then we could look at their work schedule, stagger that so they can drive our buses during the day. This one helps us to address some of our transportation challenges, but it also improves the quality of life and income of our employees. Empowered parents, successful students. Our holistic goals really focus on the partnerships with our local businesses to identify those pipeline programs that prepare our students and parents for entry-level positions in local manufacturing programs. Again, that's the manufacturing for the best. And then, of course, institutions of higher education, all of these stakeholders are part of this work. And so that's just an insight into some of what we're planning here in the Capital School District. Some of our ESSER funds will be used as a springboard to get started with some of these programs as we are still dealing with the unfolding of the impact of the pandemic. It is my prediction that not only is unfinished learning going to be a challenge, but one of the bigger challenges we will have is the social-emotional aftermath that many adults and children will suffer from, and we have to be prepared for that. So I will end with my famous quote from my interview, and it states that I believe that the Capital School District is the heartbeat of Delaware, and that Senator Pride establishes the rhythm for others in the first state to follow. Thank you.
That's really, there's a lot going on. So I have a couple, so I'm going to open it up to board members first, but before I do that, I just want to say congratulations on this role and really exciting things that I think that we're going to be seeing come out of this district. So with that, I'm going to open it up first to board members, and then I do have a couple questions.
And Dr. Cade, the concept of an interconnected middle school, could you explain to me what that is? Is that two middle schools or?
Two middle schools utilizing shared space. So they will be two separate buildings connected by shared space, which is the auditorium, the cafeteria, the gymnasium, not the cafeteria, but the gymnasium and the auditorium. And so the two schools will mirror each other. They will operate as two separate schools so that we will earn units for two schools. Absolutely.
And does that replace one middle school or two middle schools?
Two middle schools will be reconfigured again. Our current configuration is our elementary schools are pre-K, summer pre-K through fourth grade. Then we have William Henry, which is fifth and sixth right. grade, and Central, which is seventh and eighth grade.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Other questions from the board?
Dr. Cade, thanks for your presentation. It was so thorough, and also I want to acknowledge how exciting it is. I really was struck by the phrase MTSS for staff, and also talking about the trauma unfolding. I'm a classroom teacher right now. So, and I read some reporting this weekend about a school district in Arizona that had counselors on site for educators specifically. Can you talk a little bit about your vision for MTSS for staff?
Yes. So this year, what Dr. Jocelyn Brown did, and you have to remember, I started in July. So a lot of the plans that were underway in the district, you know, were underway, and we had very insightful leaders. And so there was a plan for 1 hour. We have clinical social workers that our teachers can call, right? And, you know, and we had various self-care program. So there was a menu of options for staff to prove to access to address their self-care needs. Of course, all state employees have the 6 you know, counseling sessions that we can access. And so although this wasn't perfect, as I went around with my CEO listening sessions, you know, I did receive feedback that people felt like you know, after school opportunities was not what they wanted. They wanted something built into the school day, but I applaud the team for having the insight to think about it. So it was layered, right? So you have those different menu of options that they could, you know, what we considered a tier 3 is you calling the social worker, you know, which was available for all staff, the licensed clinical social workers.
I think it's smart, and anytime you can reduce just any barrier for a teacher to reach some type of service because they are so busy during the day, it's absolutely an efficient thing to do. Dr. Brown's work is remarkable. One more question for you. Do you believe there is a career ladder for teachers other than that to assistant principal?
Absolutely. I don't think every teacher wants to leave the classroom. Some of our most important work, it happens in the classroom, and it is the most important work that we do. So I think the coaching opportunities, I've seen models, and again, I'm just 8 months in as I begin to really assess my dissertation research is really on restructuring schools through interagency partnerships. And so I have to look at our service delivery model, but I've seen models and put models in place where we've had master teachers where they teach half the day, and then half the day they go and they work, co-teach with their colleagues. And so I do not believe that all career ladders lead to leaving the classroom and abandoning the opportunity to work with our young people.
Okay, thank you, I appreciate it.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments from the board? I know we have several board members online as well. You don't think that they're gonna say anything?
Yes. This is Reverend Powell. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Cade, for that very informative and comprehensive report. In light of the national challenge with teachers, if you would, defecting from the profession, how do you navigate with all of your aggressive initiatives and the the reimagining of your schools and districts with implementing those strategies and not being able to put and not putting so much more pressure on the teachers so that they're not defecting. How do you manage and navigate that space where it's balanced and you are retaining teachers and inspiring them, but not also causing them so much stress on top of the pandemic that they want to leave the system?
So I think it's important to understand what the Gallup polls say about why teachers leave. And really the leading cause for why people leave, teachers in particular, it focuses on the relationships that they have with their direct supervisors and work conditions. And then there's salary is next, right? So given that, we've seen a huge exodus nationally of teachers because of the shift in the new educational landscape. How you balance that is you bring teachers to the table to be a part of the conversation as you're crafting, and you create a priority of what comes first, and you go deep and you go narrow and you build out. So what you saw was a lot of what you saw was at the visionary level in terms of developing a multiple year plan for when things are implemented. I think the leadership through inclusiveness piece, when people have buy-in and they feel like their voice is a part of the process, they tend to not feel so overwhelmed. So you saw a lot in terms of the vision, in terms of how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? And so we want to be very conscious of not inundating people with lots of programs. But to the best of my knowledge, from my experience, there's certain work that is teachers' work that we have to respect. When it comes to curriculum development and informing that work, our teachers have to be up front and centered. So we look at multiple year plans. So as we launch our strategic planning process, I went around and met with all of my employees, all of my teachers at their schools. I want people to be involved. So we have to learn how to work smarter than harder, because in the end, what we get out is what we put in. So involving them in the process, chunking the process, and ensuring that we're going narrow and very deep when we contextualize our work.
Great, thank you so much. That really makes a lot of sense at this point. Thank you.
That's everyone. I'm just gonna say thank you again. And I'm gonna round back because there was a lot that you were saying, because the secretary and I sit on P20, and everything that you were talking about with respect to how do we engage business and families and community means that we have built better students. So everything that you said just makes so much sense. So I'm going to follow back up just because I think it's really interesting, and I'd love to hear more in the interest of time. I know we have to keep moving forward, but about what you said, your dissertation, your work was on these kinds of programs where we bring, I don't know, you used a word, and I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, restructuring low performing
all of those different entities together. So I think that's really interesting, and definitely looking forward to seeing more come out of this district.
Thank you for this opportunity to share our work, and we're really honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.